Wait! Before we start this episode, I only have a couple more weeks to cash in on me being King Mitch here on the Sports Hour. Mitchell, hit my music one more time! Dallin, you have been subject to a few punishments here on the Sports Hour as being the last guy to lose our NFL Pick'em series that was happened last year. We're coming up on the new one this year. I only have a few more weeks to cash in on this. So my final decree as King Mitch here on the Sports Hour is that for the final few weeks of my reign, you will be known as Professor Pee-Pee Fingers. That is it. That's all I request. We will refer to you as Professor Pee-Pee Fingers for the next couple episodes. That's how you will introduce yourself. For failure to do so, you will wind up earning another stay in the pit of misery. Dilly dilly. Now, let's get on with the episode.
In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with a rejection.
Holy cow! Oh, my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Excellence. Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitch Mo.
And this is Professor Pee-Pee Fingers.
Yay!
Well done, Mitch. Here we are, our 100th episode celebrating this glorious podcast. And Mitch has me out here referring to myself as Professor Pee-Pee Fingers, which I, first off, 6 out of 10 on the name. I feel like if you were going to go Professor Pee-Pee, like keep the alliteration going, you know, and instead of fingers, I don't know, keep it a P, could have been P-P-P-P, but you know what? Professor Pee-Pee Fingers, it's all right. It's all right. And I'll take it as my deserved punishment.
Professor Pee-Pee Pee-Pee would just like not sound okay.
That's just
that has
a
to be
redundant.
Pee-Pee and some other appendage. Pee-Pee
sure,
fingers.
Sure.
Just
Pee-Pee phalanges. I don't know. I guess that's like the same. All right. No, it's good. Excited to be here. Episode 100. We have a special guest. It's our good buddy, Jordan Fox. Jordan, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well, boys. Congratulations on 100 and thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here.
The third Sports Hour guy, one of the other Sports Hour guys that doesn't appear on here regularly, but he's part of the crew. Glad to have
you on.
Also,
I feel
Jay.
The need to defend Mitch real quick. Dallin, Pee-Pee Fingers is a Ted Lasso reference.
Yes.
If you
yes.
have not watched, you absolutely should. But that's why the alliteration was broken. It was purely for a Ted Lasso reference, and I greatly appreciated it.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. I have great news. Mitch has been hounding me every time I talk to him. He's like, have you watched Ted Lasso? I must have missed that reference because I have now watched every episode of Ted Lasso in the last about 40 hours. I started on Monday. It's Wednesday. I finished last night at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yes,
I stayed up all
dude.
Night finishing it. I officially caught up. It's the most sad thing in the world now because I have to wait every Friday for a new episode. But this is the greatest show ever. Holy cow. Is it amazing? Where did the Professor Pee-Pee Fingers come? Cause I must've missed that reference.
I can't remember what episode it is. It's like 6 or 7.
I'll have to
maybe
do some more research.
And they're talking about it, name calling, and Professor Pee-Pee Fingers comes up in there. But I can't remember exactly where that reference comes up to, but it's in there. So.
Yeah, well, I feel more honored now to have this name, knowing that it comes from just a quality show like Ted Lasso. That's great. That's great. I know, I'm a big fan of soccer now. It's crazy how quickly that changed for me now.
Yeah, isn't right? The biggest sweetheart in sports cinematic history, Ted Lasso? Great. Oh my God.
Is this
God.
Just a Ted Lasso podcast now? Like this
we're basically Ted Lasso retired at
episode. We're talking Premier League and we're talking Ted Lasso. That's what the Sports Hour has become now. So
AFC Richmond never die, baby.
AFC Richmond till we die. Exactly. All right. So Mitch, episode 100, first off, I just want to take a minute to sort of reflect on this. It's been a long time. Mitch, 3 years that we've been doing this podcast, hit the 3-year anniversary a couple months ago, now at episode 100. And today we just sort of want to have some fun, just be able to sit back, relax, have a good time. Jordan's got a treat for us at the end of the podcast here. We're going to do some of our normal segments. Mitch has a top five that we're excited to hear. Mitch, 100 episodes. What are your thoughts on that? What are you feeling?
I'll tell you what, when we started, man, I guess I might've put the cap at about 10 or 15. I never thought we'd get to 100. You know, we've had highs, we've had lows, we've had sabbaticals, if you will, where we need to take some breaks. And so it might've been the longest stretch of all time for a podcast to get to 100 episodes, but we're here. And we've stayed tried and true to this. I can't tell you how much I love getting on and just talking sports with my best friends. This is really one of the highlights, things that I look forward to throughout my week. We all have regular jobs. We all have other obligations that we have to go do. This is more so a hobby for us. And for me to be able to come on here and just talk sports with Dallin, we've heard it from our friends, from our family. We used to have these conversations when we were kids, like, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids having these conversations. We just didn't say them into a microphone. And now we're having these conversations as adults. And it really doesn't even feel like I'm recording an episode when I'm on here. It really does feel like I'm just sitting down at a table, having a beer with my buddies and talking sports. And that's what I just love about this. I wouldn't have wanted to do 100 episodes with anyone else. I'm so happy that I've been a part of this with you. And I look forward to recording more in the future. So happy 100, my friend.
100 more to go.
Let's go.
You said it right there, Mitch. We appreciate all of you who've been listening, no matter how long you've been listening, whether you were with us on episode one or this is the first time you've popped in. This has just been a treat for Mitch and I. And as he said, more to come as we continue and happy to bring on new faces and continue to grow this brand like we have with Jordan. Gentlemen, let's jump in with a little bit of a topical topic, before we get into some of the festivities, if you will. NFL preseason has begun week one last week, the first slate of games. Preseason's now only 3 games, has come down from 4 to 3 with the expansion of the schedule, 18 regular season games, 3 preseason games. And so one of 3 opportunities for rookies and other players to fight for roster spots. And we want to take a look specifically at some of these first year quarterbacks getting a run in NFL preseason. These 5 rookie quarterbacks that were drafted so highly in the 2021 NFL draft all have their debuts. And honestly, all looked pretty good. Nobody looked like bad, really. There were some good performances, maybe a couple great performances. I'll start with you, Mitch, mainly because I know where you're going with this and I want to give you a chance to hype up your guy. But what performance stood out to you from the rookie QBs this last week? In particular?
Let's just talk about my guy, Justin Fields, here for a bit. I mean, this guy, I'm at a real conundrum and I'm just going to go full Bears, Mitch, because it's episode 100 and I could do whatever the hell I want to do. I'm not even going to stay on track. I'm going full Bears fan, Mitch, here. I really want Justin Fields to be the week one starter because he looked so good. 14 for 20, 142 and 1. He's also rushing at 5 for 33, 6.6 a carry and 1. He looked like the best athlete on the field when he was on the field. But I had to take in consideration, he's playing against a lot of second and third teams there. And Andy Dalton was brought in to be the starter. And I think we've said this on previous podcasts. Maybe not the most physically gifted, but I think mentally, and I think mentally and psychologically, this guy is a very smart quarterback. I think he could be a great placeholder and a great mentor for a young quarterback to come in. And I think that Andy Dalton needs to be the starter week one. I don't want to rush Justin Fields into it. As much as I would love to see him week one, I think the smart thing is here, we have to wait and we have to let Andy Dalton play potentially the first full year, if not the first, you know, 6 to 8 games. Then we'll see Justin Fields take over. But I got to hype up Justin Fields here, man. I mean, he looked like the best athlete on the field, regardless of position. And I think he probably would have had a similar performance against the ones. I think that it would have imposed a little bit bigger of a challenge for him. And, but, you know, this guy, regardless of what team was on the field, looked like the best athlete.
Yeah. And I mean, and listen, there's a lot of caveats to be made with preseason football, who they're playing against, who they're playing with. I mean, you know, oftentimes it could be a rookie with second or third string offensive line or second or third string pass catchers that can affect it. But ultimately, for a rookie quarterback in their first NFL action ever, you know, you just want to see competency. You want to see a comfort level in the pocket, the ability to get the ball out where they want, those traits that you saw in college translating to the NFL game. And you definitely saw that from Justin Fields. I thought his athleticism stood out most to me. You saw him run, hit the corner and blow past people. And it reminded me of like what young Cam Newton used to look like when he would take off. Like he had surprising speed. You saw that guy at his size and thought, you know, and yeah, he's the power goal line back or whatever. But when he would take off in the open field, it was like, holy cow, that guy's got legs. And Justin Fields runs a 4.4. I mean, he's really freaking fast. So
it reminded me of RG3 before the injury.
Right.
Is what it reminded me of.
Yeah. And that athleticism. Yeah.
Just out off the charts athleticism.
And that athleticism is going to help Justin Fields early to be able to rely upon that. In his NFL career. Jordan, your thoughts on Justin Fields and maybe what other rookie quarterback you thought had an impressive debut?
Mitch, this is a weird place for me to be right now as a Packers fan, but I am authentically excited for your Bears. Justin Fields looked awesome.
Let's go.
His legs are going to open up so many opportunities for David Montgomery. The Bears pass catchers are finally going to have a guy that can put the ball in somebody's hands. That being said, I said a few months ago when I was on the show that my prediction is Andy Dalton starts the first 3 games of the year and then we get our boy in. And I think I'm going to stick to that. The Bears are probably going to show Andy Dalton a little bit of veteran loyalty, get him a couple starts. Andy Dalton will inevitably force their hand and then we'll get the real prize. But Mitch, it's a pretty fun time to be a Bears fan, huh?
Oh God. I mean, as long as that bum Nick Foles never sees the field. I mean, I know I went in a year from calling him Big Dick Nick to calling him a bum, but you know what? He's a bum. Don't ever let him touch the field. As I don't mind if Andy Dalton touches the field. It was by design. It was by plan. I don't care. But as long as Justin Fields is the end product before the end of the 2021-22 season, then I'm happy. Then I'm happy. And, you know, he made some guys look really good. He made Jesse James look really good. He sold that play. We all saw that play where Jesse James was wide open downfield. He sold that play fake perfectly, stepped up in the pocket, delivered him a dime. A lot of people would say that's probably an easy play, but, you know, it's not that easy to sell a play like that and get a guy that wide open. So, you know, I'm just excited for what this brings. I feel like we finally got a guy. We finally got a guy.
Yeah, and it's refreshing to be able to say that. But like,
oh god,
the fact that the Bears finally have a guy is awesome.
Haven't had one since 1948. Sid Luckman.
He had a Super Bowl MVP, but it's fine. The guy who stood out to me is kind of twofold. There's a boring answer and then there's a homer answer. So I also have a homer answer along with Mitch. The boring answer, I'll start with Mac Jones. Mac Jones did not light up a score sheet. He did not do anything that looked overly impressive. And I will admit that I did not watch all of these preseason games, but I did catch probably half of this Patriots game. The thing I really want to talk about is the fact that I, going into this game, was firmly confident that we were going to get Cam Newton as the Patriots quarterback going into the season. I'm not certain at this point. Mac Jones looked better. He looked composed. He looked not polished per se, but he looked like a guy who can handle an offense, and he was efficient and kind of a get in, get out mission for him. So I don't know anymore. I don't know if you guys have thought about this at all, but that Patriots quarterback situation might be a little more interesting than I initially thought.
Yeah, it is definitely an interesting situation. And with Mac Jones, my feeling even going into the draft was always that this guy had a high floor. Right at the bare minimum, he was going to be able to get the ball out pretty quick, pretty accurate, facilitator, if you will, like low end. He was going to be a solid high end backup. The high end potential, the quote unquote superstar potential, is why Mac Jones was the fifth quarterback taken in the first round, not the first. The athleticism of guys ahead of him, just the arm talent of guys ahead of him, are why Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields all go ahead. But it is not a surprise to me that early on Mac Jones already looks competent, because that's what we should expect. And it's a good problem for the Patriots to have if it pushes either Cam Newton to be better and to play at a higher level because of the competition behind him, or if it means that Jones is the guy, and when he comes in as a rookie can provide, an accurate passer who gets the ball out quick and moves an offense. So it is an interesting situation in New England, but I don't know if I'm surprised he looks competent. A lot of time left in the quarterback competition. And even like the Bears, I would suspect that the Patriots start the season off with Cam Newton. And if they're 1-3, or 1-4, maybe that's when you pivot to Mac Jones. But he's definitely going to give Cam a run for his money, no doubt.
I'm on board with Jordan here. I was surprised because the Patriots system is such a complex system to learn. And for him to look that competent, first time out, it was pretty impressive. And I know that they have historically coached their quarterbacks very well. We've seen byproducts of Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo when he's healthy. And even Brian Hoyer in backup situations has played competently. I mean, they can coach a quarterback for Jacoby Brissett, another example. So they know how to coach the quarterback position. I'm not surprised that he played, or I am surprised that he played that competently in that system, but I'm also not surprised at the same time, because historically speaking, the Patriots have coached quarterbacks exceptionally well, with the big example being Tom Brady. So, I do think that Cam will start the year, but I don't think that if he gets hurt, Mac Jones fills in, that it's Cam Newton's seat to take right back. If Mac Jones plays well in a unforeseen Cam Newton absence, then it might be Cam Newton's seat to win back. Mac Jones might be taking that seat if he plays well enough.
Sure. Jordan, go ahead and tell us what you thought about Jordan Love, because I know that's where you were going next. Not a rookie, but this is his first time wearing a Packers jersey, not in a team photo. So
yeah,
what,
exactly.
How was the debut for the former Utah State slinger?
So this is the reason he's my second pick. He's technically cheating that I'm putting him here, but it is noteworthy to me, given that the only thing we've seen of Jordan Love to this point was him missing nets at practice from like 10 yards away. Like the word around camp is that Jordan Love just can't throw a football. And so going into the Aaron Rodgers situation, everybody's panicking. Like, are we really about to start Blake Bortles? Cause Jordan Love can't throw. This is all bad in Green Bay. And then Jordan Love walks out and goes 12 for 17 for 122 and a touchdown, and looked good. Like, not just competent, like looked pretty freaking good. So I don't know. The preseason means nothing for the most part. You guys are right. He's throwing against dudes that are not going to crack the league for the most part, but still, encouraging as a Green Bay Packers fan to see the backup quarterback able to actually throw a football rather than having the proverbial yips.
Yeah, no doubt. No, it's a very good sign for the Packers and Packers fans. A sigh of relief, right? You're like, phew, all right, at least that kid looks like he's not a garbage dumpster fire.
Right,
you know?
He has a little bit more athletic ability than I do. That's so encouraging.
Right, absolutely. So the one rookie I wanted to highlight here from the first week, no surprise, I watched his entire debut, Zach Wilson. I say entire debut, he played two drives, okay? They only gave him two drives, but in those two drives, 6 of 9, 63 yards. That was it. But he looked efficient. That's what I liked. What I was impressed most about was less Zach Wilson and more the Jets offense. The Jets offense looked solid. It was the Shanahan offense. It's what I expected to see. It's what we expect to see. But Zach Wilson in that offense makes a lot of sense. Easy read for quarterbacks. He's a smart kid. He knows where to put the ball. Place the ball pretty accurately in those first two drives. And I thought that was encouraging for the quarterback who I believe comes in with the most pressure of any of these rookie quarterbacks. Zach Wilson has the most pressure on him, in my opinion. Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick. He always was. There's so much going on in Jacksonville that it's not about Trevor Lawrence. There's Urban Meyer. There was even Tim Tebow until yesterday when they cut him. Zach Wilson is the hope in New York. Like, if Zach Wilson doesn't work out for the Jets, they're screwed. Everything's in on him. That's a lot of pressure on the kid. And in his first NFL action, to look sharp, to get the ball out, targeted Corey Davis quite a bit, you know. No Elijah Moore. We'll see what that does. I know in practice and in scrimmages that that's been a favorite target for him. But I thought Zach looked good. I'm curious. I know in the next the game against the Packers, he'll get 3 or 4 drives. Hopefully we can see a little more from him. But I thought Zach looked good in his debut. Efficient, not splashy, not spectacular. They didn't take shots downfield, but he got the ball out well. And I think that'll bode well for him in his rookie season.
Also, just like, looked good playing and looked good not playing. That is a attractive man. The Jets got a quarterback.
Yeah, you like him. You're a fan. Huh? He's got the baby face, you know. But he's a good looking guy.
I can't think about him and not have the Instagram photos he posted pre-draft just like running through my brain. They're like ingrained. It's burned in there, and I can't get it out.
I think I've said it before, and I will say it again. Zach Wilson looks like a Disney Channel star that would play Zach Wilson in a Disney Channel movie.
Yeah,
dude, I love that.
That's what he looks like. Like, he's that baby faced. He's a Disney Channel star.
Zac Efron of the NFL. Yeah,
yeah, basically. That's true. That's true.
Zac Efron, quarterback, New York Jets.
No, it's great. But honestly, you know, besides the ones that we talked about, obviously Trevor Lawrence looked pretty solid. Had the very shaky first snap, strip sacked, fumbled. Like, it was like not good. But after that, you know, a little more composed. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is just an incredible athlete. You know, we know what he could do. Trey Lance, 5 of 14. But when it worked, it was incredible. That one deep pass was like, holy cow.
The 80-yard touchdown was insane. That man might as well have been Patrick Mahomes in that moment. Twitter
right.
was crazy.
And that's why Trey Lance is the third quarterback drafted, right?
Yeah.
That sort of potential, the upside of him, like, if he figures it out, if someone can really teach, you know, him the game and get him in, like, that sort of upside is huge for Trey Lance as well.
He's a Brett Favre type. He's a gunslinger. I mean, he's a risk taker. You know, he doesn't have the polished mechanics that everyone else has, but he has the athleticism and the arm strength to make throws that guys that do have that polished mechanics can make. So I you know, he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be a project, at least in my eyes. But
yeah, I would say after this first week of the preseason, I think Trey Lance is the one I feel most confident in not starting week one. The Niners have been pretty clear about feeling confident in Jimmy G, that he's their guy. Unless Trey Lance does something incredible in the next two games, it seems like Jimmy G is going to be that starter for week one and beyond, unless things go really bad for the Niners. But again, you know, it's probably better off for Lance to sit a year, learn the system, get acclimated to the NFL. He's still very young. He's like 21 years old, obviously North Dakota State, not the highest competition, there for football. So he'll need some time, but he showed those flashes already in that first game.
And the 49ers, I mean, they're fully justified in doing that. I mean, Jimmy G, he's been hurt a large amount of time during his time in San Francisco, but he's still something like in the single digit in losses and like well in the double digits in wins, like 22 and something. So like he's a winner on the field. Even if he's not producing, he's a winner. So you got to start the winner.
He did lead him to a Super Bowl, right? Like no, that was deal. Jimmy G. So yeah, got to give him some credit there.
It's good for Trey Lance's longevity that he sits for this year. I mean, he's got the raw talent. We've seen it. He can get with the quarterbacks, coaches, clean up some mechanical stuff. Like, it's good for him overall, and I am really, really excited for the day when he's able to come in and we get to see him at his full potential, because I think that kid has an insane amount of raw talent.
It's awesome. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But yeah, I mean, very interesting debuts by the young quarterbacks this week. All pretty solid in the first week. We'll see what the next couple weeks of preseason bring as we get closer and closer to the NFL season. I believe I saw today, recording this the 18th of August, 22 days until the NFL season kicks off. 3 weeks Let's from tomorrow, that opening game with the Buccaneers. So we're getting there slowly but surely.
That was all our NFL preseason stuff, right, guys? We're done.
Yeah.
Covered everything we wanted to cover.
You know, guys getting cut. Sorry, Tim Tebow. You weren't a real football player. Sorry.
Whoa.
Did you see him try to block?
The block.
Okay, I got to say this real quick. I did not plan on this, but anybody who said Tim Tebow could do what Taysom Hill did, y'all can shut up now, because that guy would actually block people and still does block people.
He played
did
baseball
you see
for
those
six
blocks
years.
That
what
Tim
did you
Tebow
expect?
Tried to put out? I could have blocked better than that. Come on.
I don't know if this is Mitch defending Tim Tebow or just Mitch being anti Taysom Hill right now.
Tim Tebow was always
Porque
a joke.
No los dos.
Tebow was always a joke. He never was serious about this, and it was clear. I mean, he's been cut. I mean, sorry.
It
would have
been
Tim.
A fun story.
Have a nice life.
It would have been a fun story if he made it as the third tight end on the depth chart.
Such
but it
an
was
underdog
nothing.
When he's freaking neighbors with the coach, huh? Yeah, real underdog story for Tim Tebow.
Oh, well, he was cool with Urban Meyer before they were neighbors.
Yeah,
so.
They got million-dollar homes next to each other.
Well, okay.
Oh, man. All
I'm
right,
a Tim Tebow guy.
I digress. Rest in peace, Tim Tebow. You know, sorry, your NFL career.
I mean, he didn't
die.
But
well, his
RIP
NFL career did. So, yeah. All right, Mitch, top five.
All right.
Let's do this.
Yeah, it's been a while since I did this one. But speaking of Tim Tebow, we have beloved athletes, right? We have athletes that we all love to see succeed. But then there are athletes that you can't fucking stand. You just can't stand.
Taysom Hill.
To see anything. Oh, yeah. Well, I
don't
know if
I don't like
this.
List,
but...
Professor Peepee Fingers does not like this pot
sorry,
already.
Continue,
I don't like
sorry,
this
sorry, sorry, sorry. I couldn't.
Yeah,
pass it
up. I don't know if he qualifies quite for this list, but in this week's edition of Mitch Moe's top five list of the week, we are going to go through the top five most hated athletes of all time.
Wow. Most hated.
Yeah.
I like it.
Now
it's about
this
to be
could
contentious.
Be, yeah, this could be hated by. Now I kind of broaden my horizons with this. It could be hated by fans. This could be hated by the general public. This could be hated by teammates. And I kind of had to make up my own barometer in my mind of what hate exceeded what hate, because maybe hate by the general public was exceeded by hate by the teammates because there was kind of more of an intensity to it. So. I had to narrow it down, and I'll tell you what, there were some strong candidates left off this list. Not being O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson did not make the list.
What? I think that's fair because
yeah,
O.J.
fair.
Wasn't hated when he was a player.
Yeah, true.
He was hated
true.
When he was a murderer. So
right.
Allegedly.
Which, by the way, did you just see that? He just said he avoids LA
yes.
because he's afraid that he'll run into his ex-wife's killer.
You know what? Give him some credit. O.J. Simpson has never run into the killer because he's never run into himself. It's impossible.
Oh,
he doesn't know how to do
it. Doesn't have mirrors in his house. No mirrors in his house anywhere.
I was alone home. I was home alone by myself and almost fell over laughing when I read it. I was like, you got to be kidding
me. It's awful. It's awful.
Oh, this man God. Is playing the biggest role-playing game to ever exist. Oh. Like, his life has just turned into an RPG, and he is winning.
This guy is incredible.
Oh, man. But OJ didn't make it. Who else OJ didn't make it?
Tom Brady didn't make it.
Okay.
Pete Rose didn't make it. Which okay. I think Pete Rose, I don't hate Pete Rose.
Nobody should hate Pete Rose.
No.
I think we are just too young to hate Pete Rose. That's like before our time. Like, what state, you know, what do we have in the game?
I think now sports betting is more acceptable than what it now sure. the fashion that he did it in, probably not acceptable, but like
didn't
less,
he not bet on his own games?
He never bet on his own games.
Yeah, who cares? Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I say. Lance Armstrong did not make my list.
Okay.
And then LeBron James was also not on my list, but he was an honorable mention.
Really?
And I think it's just because
James.
You just didn't like Space Jam 2 or something? What was it?
Nobody likes Space Jam 2,
Dylan. It stinks. It stinks. They should have kept it at one. But I put him on there pretty much because of the whole there's the GOAT conversation, right? And if you're a Michael Jordan guy, which I know I am, I know you are, Dallin, but I know you don't hate LeBron. A lot of Michael Jordan, like hardcore MJ guys, dislike LeBron because of the different kind of influence that he has nowadays. Sure. And those are kind of more the old school guys. So those are my honorable mentions, but I'm going to start off with number five. And I think number five, you could argue that he's a little too low on the list, but my number five is going to be Mike Vick. Michael Vick.
Okay. Interesting.
And I think partially because now he has a great redemption story. And it's fantastic. But I think at the time of the thing that he did with the dogfighting scandal and kind of how unremorseful he was during the whole trial really was off-putting to the rest of the public. And they kind of labeled him as, you know, almost more than a villain. I mean, he was like evil almost, you know. Now he has a great redemption story and now he's very involved in animal rights stuff moving forward. But he had a great comeback in his playing career, but that's all secondary to kind of the rebirth of Mike Vick as a person. But I think that Mike Vick during the whole scandal just became like the most hated man in America. And that was kind of at the point where you and I, Dallin, were kind of at the pinnacle of getting, and you too, Jordan, I'm sure, of getting to like our sports interests, like to where it peaked, to where we were kind of absorbing every little piece of information that we can, not just the topical stuff. And I think that that was a huge story that really was so off-putting to the general public that it warranted him to be the most hated man in sports at one point. So he makes my number five.
Yeah. You know, and I will say too, to your credit, I think, you know, NFL fans, football fans as a whole, I've probably come around on Michael Vick, as you mentioned.
I've forgiven Michael Vick with
his post-playing career. But the general public wasn't watching Michael Vick with the Eagles. All they know about Michael Vick is the dogfighting stuff. So I'd be curious, as the general public, non-football fans, what is the image of Michael Vick? Do they still even think about it? Do they remember him as this horrible guy who did this horrible thing? You know, and maybe perhaps that is still the public sentiment. Whereas for, you know, people like us within the NFL who've seen his comeback, seen him play, see what he's done off the field, have kind of come around on that. So,
yeah. And I forgive Michael Vick, like what he did, absolutely terrible and deplorable. But, you know, he seems genuine in what everything that he's done to overcome that and to issue his years long worth of apology for it. So
sure. You don't hate him, but you put him on a list of the most hated players in sports. It's fine. I get it.
I just think at the time he was.
All right. What's number four? I like how this is starting.
Number four, I put Barry Bonds.
Oh yeah.
Out of here.
I love it. He should be higher. Put him higher.
Now he almost was higher. He almost was higher. And,
I think every San Francisco Giant should be on this list, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the steroid scandal, right? That was the big one, the steroid scandal. It was, it was just the... How could you lie about something so adamantly and then, like, have every piece of evidence point towards the fact that you're doing it and then still lie about it?
Yeah.
And then
fair enough.
I mean, it's so apparent that you took steroids. Your hat size grew.
I mean, like, just look at his head. Just look at his head. Come on.
In one off season, his hat size grew like 10 sizes. It was ridiculous.
Like the Grinch, you know?
Only in a bad way. Yeah, the Grinch is another redemption story, by the way.
My gosh.
But, you know, Barry Bonds just, you know, the conversation is always going to be, I think, until someone hits more home runs than him without the use of steroids, the question is always, the conversation is always going to be, should there be an asterisk? Should that be a record that is recognized as non-legitimate because he did it in an era where performance-enhancing drugs weren't policed as stringent as they are now? I was just talking about this with someone the other day, how Mark McGwire had, you know, androstenedione, like, openly on his locker. And that wasn't a banned substance yet. You know, he had Andro up there in a bottle that's labeled Andro. And that wasn't really policed yet. That wasn't something that was cracked down on yet. But he was in that era. And unfortunately, you know, he carried it past that era where it was policed more. And there's always going to be that question until someone hits more home runs than him and does it legitimately of, should there be an asterisk next to it? And across the baseball world, which is still a vast fan base, that's always going to be the question. So he makes number four.
As a Giants fan, Jordan, how are you feeling about this one?
I just have a clarifying question for Mitch. Mitch, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't you a steroid guys get into the Hall of Fame believer?
I am here's why. Because a lot of those steroid guys had Hall of Fame careers before they did steroids.
Fair.
And Barry Bonds is one of them. And the next guy on this list is one of them. So
I was wondering if there was going to be more. Here's my take, because I don't want to get into a long steroid debate. At the end of the day, steroids make you obscenely strong. They do not help you hit a round ball with a round bat that's coming at you at 90 plus miles an hour. So I get it. This would be probably a different conversation if Barry Bonds weren't still being so shady about it. Like, if he owned it a little bit and were like, listen, it is what it is. I did it. Yes, here's what's going on. I feel like the public perception would be less vitriol. But listen, I mean, I got to defend my guy. Barry Bonds is Barry Bonds. He's the greatest hitter of all time. And the record is what it is. And steroids make you strong, but they don't help you hit a ball coming at you real fast. So,
you know,
that's where I'm at, man.
He probably wouldn't make my list if he was more honest about it.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And that's fair. I can't say anything against
him. He wouldn't make my list because, you know, there's guys like Mark McGwire, who I didn't even mention until I got to Barry Bonds, where, you know, he was open about it afterwards. quite honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you. The next three guys on this list are all steroid users, and they all adamantly denied it.
Have you guys ever guessed what's on Mitch Moe's top five before he does it?
I have not. No, I don't know if I've ever tried to guess what's on there.
Because I think I could nail two of the three, if not all three of them. Dallin, where are you at on
this? Let's hear it. No, I want to hear your guesses.
Okay, let's go.
Let's start at number three.
In order. I might not know three.
So you're saying there's two out of the final three are also steroid.
No,
the last three are all steroid users.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to guess them in order. You ready, Mitch?
Yep.
Jose Canseco, Roger Clemens, Alex Rodriguez.
You are correct on all, but not in the order. So,
oh, gosh darn it. Come
wow.
on, man.
That is impressive. Holy cow.
That was great. That was actually really good. So let's start at number three, Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
I mean, also just like a well-known dick, like
dude sucks.
Everybody
dude
sucks knows
real bad.
Like, he had the whole instance where he chucked the broken back back at Mike Piazza for no reason. Like, Mike Piazza can't control whether he breaks a bat or not. And he chucks the barrel of the bat that bounced back at him right back at Mike Piazza. I mean, I believe that might've been the 2000 World Series where we had the cross, the two New York teams in the World Series. It just a well-known asshole. But then also he did performance-enhancing drugs and adamantly denied it. He came up in the Mitchell report, denied it. And, you know, I cannot get behind anyone. And he's another case of like Barry Bonds. He had a Hall of Fame career before he did steroids. Like he was well on his way to the Hall of Fame. He was well on his way to being one of the greatest pitchers of all time without steroids. And he did it. He could have been like his counterpart, Andy Pettit, who admitted that he did it for 6 months, one season, and it was helping to recoup an injury. And Andy Pettit, I mean, now we still revere Andy Pettit and still think of him as a great pitcher and a great person because he admitted to it. And not only that, he was doing it for the right reasons. He wasn't doing it to get all ripped and bigger, stronger, faster, which is what they, you know, advocate that steroids do. You know, Roger Clemens was doing it to do steroids and thought that he could be some sort of, you know, athletic beast. And it made him that, I guess, in some, you know, and to some degree, but you know, he was a Hall of Fame pitcher before that. He didn't have to do that, but he did. And he's an asshole. So he's number three on the list. Number two,
I got nothing to add. I just agree.
No, dude sucks. I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah.
He's really bad. A-Rod's number two. I just saw something today. Do you know A-Rod in 2006 raised $400,000 for charity and only donated $5,000 of it?
That can't be real.
That is absolutely 100% real. They never disclosed what charity it was for. He raised $400,000 for charity, only donated $5,000 of it, pocketed the other $350,000 of it, has been known to cheat on his wife, has been known to do all the stuff with Madonna, well, ex-wife now, and he just lost J-Lo to Ben Affleck. So,
lowest of lows.
Lowest of lowest for A-Rod.
Out of his prime, Ben Affleck.
Yeah, that is a great exactly point. It. Yeah, outdated Ben prime. Affleck.
What is this? Is not prime Ben Affleck.
This is post horrible Batman movies, Ben Affleck. Yeah, like, this is a bad Ben Affleck.
He lost it to bad Ben Affleck.
This is after Ben Affleck got in shape to play Batman and then had time to get re out of shape. And then.
This is cigarette Ben Affleck.
Oh, man. And that's, you know, A-Rod definitely deserves to be on here. Besides the steroid stuff, just as a general human being, I'm cool with it being on.
He's the guy that got drafted by the Seattle Mariners, would not sign with the Seattle Mariners, and told them that they were a classless organization, a low-class organization, and waited until the final day to sign a three-year, $3 million contract with them after he got signed. You call the organization that you're going to spend the next 7 years and got drafted by a low-class organization, you're going to piss the fan base off immediately. But they forgave him. He obviously goes on. He wins an MVP with them. Multiple all-star selections. Then goes to the Texas Rangers. Basically has these absurd demands. Becomes the highest-played player in sports history. I don't know what the truth is to this, but I had read, had a guy that literally put toothpaste on his toothbrush for him. I don't understand how you could be that big of a douchebag.
There's no way. Yeah. It's just impossible. There's no way.
I don't know the validity to that, but I've read it. Then goes to the Yankees, gets re-signed to the Yankees after the Yankees already, like, he's worn out his welcome there. Gets signed to a 10-year deal, $270-something million deal, and becomes the highest played player in sports history again. Like, man, fuck this guy. Like, he just sucks. He sucks.
Agreed. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have two dudes that are just not good people, and we have a crazy person for the last one.
And then really a crazy person, Jose Canseco. You nailed it, Jay. Number one hated man in all of sports. He is kind of considered the catalyst to the steroid era in baseball. Introduced a lot of great players to steroids. Not only that, then wrote a book, which he didn't actually write. He just basically told a story. Someone wrote it for him. basically ratting out every person who did steroids, which led to the eventual Mitchell report. And he's been on The Real World, has been a douchebag on there. He has gotten his ass beat by Billy Football of Barstool Sports in the ring at Rough and Rowdy. After he said that he would whoop his ass, and you know what, there is just like he has, and he's committed himself to multiple boxing and MMA matches, and either not followed through on them or gotten his ass beat in them. He is the epitome of the kid that just got picked on way too much and became an asshole, and then got big and strong because he took steroids, continued to be an asshole, and then just continued to get his ass whooped. And that's not me trying to sound like a bully, but that's exactly what that sounds like to me. So Jose Canseco, just the biggest dirtbag in sports history. And I'm sure there's more that did way worse off the field stuff, but I'm kind of keeping it all in sports related instances. Jose, you take the cake, my friend. And it's not even close. Even after all the A-Rod stuff, it's not even close what Jose did. He's a dirtbag.
Wow. Okay. So the top five most hated. So we've got 5 Michael Vick, 4 Barry Bonds, 3 Roger Clemens, 2 Alex Rodriguez, and number 1, Jose
Do Canseco. We see a trend in assholes and the steroid era? I mean, there's
from
a
you, yes. Yeah.
It turns out steroid usage messes with your mood. So yeah, it's go figure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, I guess, but
that's yeah. It makes you an asshole.
I didn't have to
probably.
Think about that much.
Also, I think you just kind of have to be a narcissistic asshole to take steroids in the first place. So it's probably not helping anything.
But then there's guys like Tom Brady, who are my honorable mention. And like, he didn't do anything wrong. We just hate him for being a winner, right? Like, people hate him because he wins too much.
And kissing his kids on the mouth.
And deflate gate.
Uncomfortably long. I mean, like, it is like an uncomfortably long time that he kisses his kids on the mouth. Like,
so I went for the joke and then Dallin just slammed dunks right over the top.
Just
said,
like, that's probably
and
why
the thing that actually happened that people hate him for.
I agree with the kissing your kids on the mouth thing though, for the record. I do. Also, I got to say what the icing on the cake for me was him throwing the Lombardi trophy from one boat to another at the victory boat parade. No. Like, come on, man.
That was awesome. How dare you?
No.
I'm so on board with that.
Come
that was
on.
Awesome.
What sort of,
hey,
like...
He hit his target, man.
You give that
he's
that
one for
little,
one passing in the offseason.
You
I
give
mean, come
that
on.
Little
man doesn't
fucks
miss
in the
when
world
he throws to Rob Gronkowski.
That you're about to throw the Lombardi trophy in the bay. Just like, oh, I guess, oops, sorry.
Nah, he was under
listen,
the...
when you have so many, what's one more? You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
I
it
guess.
Might as well just be like a roll of tissue paper.
But that's the thing, is like...
It's just...
Yeah... Yeah, I guess why not?
Oh, no, but great list, Mitch. Thank you for the top 5 most hated players. I feel like that's one we'll have to maybe revisit in the future, maybe different iterations. I like that list, you know, maybe in the NFL history, NBA history, maybe some more specific stuff. I'd love to hear from you, Mitch. That's a great list.
There are a lot of dirtbags out there. We
yes.
might have to revisit.
There were
this
definitely
one.
Some guys I was surprised that weren't on the list. So yeah,
like,
this is worth revisiting.
I like a Ben Roethlisberger could have been a great honorable mention here. You know, generally just
and I kept it more in the. They kept it more in the realm of sports. He had some off the field stuff where you're like, oh, okay, Ben. Like,
yeah,
you're an ass.
Christian Laettner.
Oh
everybody
yeah,
hates Christian Laettner.
Yeah,
everybody hates Christian Laettner. Shane Battier was another one. Everyone hated Shane Battier when he played college basketball. Or no, was it JJ Redick? Sorry, JJ Redick was the one I was thinking of.
People
when he was at
JJ Redick
when he was at Duke. Yeah, everyone hated JJ Redick.
There are a few, but that's well done, Mitch. Thank you for the top 5.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, how about we take a quick break here? Everyone cool with that?
Sounds okay. Good.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jordan's got a little surprise for us to wind up the end of the pod. It's going to be a fun time, guys. We hope you play along with us. Stick around, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for checking out the Sports Hour today. We appreciate you wherever you're listening. But if you haven't already, we recommend you check us out and give us a listen on Anchor.
Anchor allows us to provide the best product to you. you can go support the Sports Hour and become a permanent part of the show, like my saint of a mother, Sammy, and my father, David, did.
You can even leave us voice messages with your thoughts and opinions that we can use on the show. Prove to us that you know better than me and Mitchmo.
Moral of the story, people, be more like Sammy and David. Go find us at anchor.fm/thesportshour, guys, and become a part of the conversation. What the hell are you waiting for?
Welcome back. Thanks for this hanging out. As a reminder, this is Professor Peepee Fingers. Per decree, King Mitch, you know, his reign ends soon. Thank goodness I can kick his butt next year in the picks. But for now, you know, I will say, Professor Peepee Fingers, you know, it's not my favorite thing, but I did not have to shave my head. So that is a...
Yeah.
It's a big win for me, big win for my wife, just, you know, anyone around me. So that's I'll take it.
I don't know if Mitch has recovered yet from shaving his head last season. He's still working on building up his.
I got a little mullet going on now.
You
so.
Do.
Oh,
you do.
Yeah.
Much better than the shaved head.
Yes.
You look like Aaron Rodgers. You guys see those pictures of him today? Aaron Rodgers got the slick back look too.
He is just a stallion of a man.
Oh, Mitch? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not Mitch. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow. Well, I think you're a stallion of a man, Mitch, not of the
man.
Oh,
thanks, man.
Yes. All right. Jordan's got a little trivia, a little game. We're just going to toss it to Jordan. Let him sort of take the reins here. And Mitch and I are along for the ride. So, Jordan, what do we got in store?
Boys, we got a little Sports Hour trivia to wrap up the show tonight.
Woo!
I have five categories for you in total, each of which has three questions. The last round is a lightning round, and there's actually 10. So we will blaze through those. First things first that we need to do, we need to establish some buzzer sounds. So in order to ring in first after I ask the question, I need to know what sound you guys are going to go with to buzz in. So Dallin, we'll start with you. Give me your buzz in sound, please.
I just have to make up a sound?
Yeah, we're audibly doing this.
Oh, get back to me. Let me ponder. Go, Mitch.
Okay, this what's your sound, most Mitch? Complicated question Dallin's had all day. Mitch, what is your buzz in sound, my friend?
Quack.
Easy as that. Dallin, what do you got for
me?
Oh,
I'm going to go bing. I'm trying to do a different. The tonality has to be different, or else you might mix us up. So I want to, you know, he went low, I go high.
Well, okay. Mitch said quack, so I don't know if I'm gonna mix that up with the sound of a bell. But yeah, I also like that you took all that time to just come up with a literal bell sound. But okay. All right, boys, this is how it's gonna work. You may ring in the second that I am done asking you the question. If you ring in before, I will not grant it to you, and it will automatically go to the other person. If the person who rings in answers incorrectly, the other person will have a chance to answer. If neither of you get it correct, nobody gets points. First category for tonight is going to be NBA resumes. I'm going to give you the resume of an NBA player along with their position, and you need to tell me who this player is. And I will say right now, these are all currently active NBA players, just to help you guys out.
Cool.
Are you guys ready?
So ready.
All right. First question. This is a point guard. Philadelphia, New Orleans, Milwaukee.
Bing.
Dallin.
Drew Holiday. Final NBA answer? Champ.
Is that your final answer, sir?
Yes, that's my final answer.
Put it on the board. Yeah. Drew Holiday is correct. Dallin is up 1-0. Second question.
How you feeling,
boys,
Mitch?
A little scared for this category. A little scared for this category.
One question in.
You're
Mitch
the NBA
heard
guy.
NBA and he went, oh shit. All right. This was not mine.
Oh, good Lord. Boys, forward. Philadelphia, Denver, Golden State, Miami.
Oh, bing.
Dallin.
I'm going to say, Oh, no, wait.
Can you repeat that order one more time?
And I will clarify, I have him down as a forward. He's kind of a weird combo shooting guard forward.
Yeah. I'm
Philadelphia, Denver, Golden State, Miami. Down, I'll give you one chance to answer.
That's right. I don't think this is correct. There might have been another stop or two in there, but I'm going to say, give me Iguodala.
Final answer.
Yes, final answer.
Andre Iguodala is correct. So here's the deal. I believe he just got traded like literally 2 weeks ago. He does not have stats for that team, though. So I just went off of like where they logged stats for a team.
That's what I thought. Down I was like, it's kind of tricky. Yeah. I know, but
it is tricky. And he's like technically not a forward, but he played small forward. It's weird. All right. Final one for this category. Center. And buckle in because there's a lot of teams here. Orlando, Los Angeles, Houston, Atlanta, Charlotte, Washington, Los Angeles Lakers, Philadelphia.
Quack.
Mitchell.
Is this Dwight Howard?
Final answer?
Yep.
That is Dwight Howard, Mitch. Yes, it
Let's
is.
Let's go, buddy.
1-2
Let's go.
That was, I thought, the hardest one out of the three. And Mitch was just like, yeah, no problem. It's Dwight Howard. It's fine. We have no issue here.
Honestly, I had like committed Dwight Howard when you started off with Orlando. I was like, yep, yeah, Dwight Howard. Yeah, yep. Okay.
Center from Orlando. Yeah.
You didn't right, think boys. It was Ken Burch?
Everything That's else was just thinking. Validation afterwards. So,
yeah, right. Right. All right, boys, that wraps up NBA resumes. Our next category is single A affiliates. I'm going to give you a single A baseball team, and you need to tell me what major league team they are affiliated with.
Okay.
First question, or first team, rather. The Inland Empire 66ers.
Bing!
Down.
I'm taking a shot in the dark. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Angels.
Incredibly, that is correct.
No way! No way!
Let's go!
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Their single A affiliate is the Inland Empire 66ers.
That's on. You are cheating. You're cheating.
Shout out cheating. To San Bernardino, baby.
A ludicrous guess.
I lived in the Inland Empire for 2 years. Thank you.
When you were 1 and 2 years old. No,
when I was on my mission, man. That's where I was at. Oh, IE right. for life, just, bro. Just San B. Let's
the good
go.
Word and watch an Inland Empire 66ers.
Love
game.
It.
All right, Dallin's up 3-1. Ugh. Second team, the Juniper Hammerheads.
Quack.
The Juniper Hammerheads. Mitch.
The Miami Marlins.
Final answer?
Final answer.
You guys are crushing this category. That is correct also.
Wow.
I thought I had seen that one before. So I was like, okay, that one I think I know, but
I thought this category was, we were going to go over. I didn't think anybody was going to get these. This is impressive, boys.
Last don't underestimate us. We are the Sports Hour
I know,
guys,
I shouldn't
Jordan.
Have, I shouldn't have. The Sports Hour guys, I should not have underestimated you. Last team for this category, the Daytona Tortugas.
Quack.
Mitchell.
Is this the Tampa Bay Rays?
Final answer?
Final answer.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go. Do I have to bing? Do I have to bing?
No, you're good. Okay. It just, well, I throw it to you immediately.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Braves.
That is also incorrect. The Daytona Tortugas are the single A affiliate for the Cincinnati Reds.
Ooh, okay. I thought that was a tricky one, but I was not going to guess Cincinnati. That's for sure.
That is a tricky one.
I should have not even guessed a Florida team. That was a dumb guess. That was dumb.
Yeah, what a ludicrous guess.
Yeah, come on, Mitch, you idiot. I'm just kidding. No, you didn't.
Two out of three is impressive in that round, boys, I will say. Well done. Our next category is NFL alumni. I'm going to give you three NFL players. You need to tell me what college they attended.
Okay.
And again, these are all, you're obviously going to know, but these are all active NFL players. Our first player, Stephon Diggs. I will also say these are all major schools. weeks.
Bing.
Dallin.
I don't feel good about this. I am going to go with the University of Maryland.
Final answer.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Stephon Diggs went to the University of Maryland.
Dallin, can I give you, I know DJ Moore, my buddy from the Panthers, that's a former Terrapin right there as well.
Yep. There you go. There you go. I'm not going to lie to you boys. You are performing much better than I was expecting. This has been an impressive.
Well, I'm sorry you had such low expectations of us, Jordan.
I feel so embarrassed.
Yeah, Mitch, how are you feeling, buddy? You're in a 2-point hole. You're down 4-2. There's still a lot
there's,
of trivia.
There's left, still though. Time. There's still time.
Is this the halftime interview with Coach Mitch heading this in the locker room? Yeah, like, what are you gonna tell your team, Coach Mitch, as you head in the locker room?
Well, you know, we're
Mitch,
just gonna,
what flavor of Gatorade are you guys giving the boys?
We're drinking orange Gatorade. That's the only kind of Gatorade that there is. If any other kind of Gatorade is just bogus. We're gonna go into halftime. We're gonna start to play better ball. That's all.
Wow, riveting.
Well said. And you can start right now, Mitch, because our second player for this category is Ben Roethlisberger.
Quack. Quack. Quack, 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 quack.
Mitch, I got you. Mitch, go ahead.
That would be the University of Miami, Ohio.
Final answer?
Final answer.
That is correct. So this was surprising to me. I did not have Miami in my head for Ben Roethlisberger. When I looked this up, that was shocking to me.
Well, yeah, he played in Ohio. I mean, it was University of Miami, Ohio.
The better of the Miamis, let's be honest.
Obviously. So. Miami of the North, if you will. You know what I'm saying? All right, Mitch, you're digging yourself out of a hole. It's a 3-4 ball game. Our final player for this category, boys, is Mike Davis.
Quack.
Mitch.
This would be University of South Carolina.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
Mitch, you've tied it up. It is a 4-4 ball game.
Let's go. Let's go.
This was a South Carolina Gamecock.
Holy cow. That was a great guess. I did not know where to go on that one.
You guys are throwing some impressive guesses this game. Impressive guesses.
It's not guesses. This is all stored knowledge.
All up here.
Yeah. You guys totally knew single A affiliates just off the back of your head. Totally.
Okay, that one might have been a little bit of a guess.
Those ones were educated guesses. Thank you.
All right, boys. Your second to last category is legacy professionals. Now, let me explain how this works. Okay. I'm going to give you the description of a professional athlete. You need to tell me who that professional athlete's professional child is. So I'm giving you the description of a professional parent. You need to identify the parent and then tell me who their professional child is. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. I like this.
All right. I like it.
Here we go. This Cincinnati Reds right fielder won back-to-back World Series in 75 and 76 and won the All-Star Game MVP in 1980, along with finishing in the top 10 as a batter 3 times.
Quack.
Mitch.
This would be Ken Griffey Sr., and Ken Griffey Jr. is his son.
Final answer?
Final answer.
That is correct. So to clarify, the answer I was looking for there was Ken Griffey Jr., but the description was of Ken Griffey Sr. Well done, Mitch.
Yeah. Great.
Second
guess.
Question, boys. This Saints quarterback played 11 years in the NFL, compiling the worst record for a quarterback with over 100 starts. He was selected for 2 Pro Bowls and was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Year in 1978.
Bing. Quack. Oh.
Dallin snuck in there. Fuck. Dallin, go ahead.
Okay, but this is a tough one because I believe we're talking about Archie Manning here, who has 2 sons, Peyton and Eli. So Peyton and Eli, is it both?
I will accept either one. That is correct, Dallin.
Son of a
5
bitch.
To
the
5
second I heard of New Orleans, 11 years.
Oh, you knew it. You were like, it's
knew
Archie.
I was like, just wait, because I knew if I answered too early, I'm going to get doxxed.
All right, boys. Damn those it. 2 were gimmies. This third one should be a little bit more difficult, but we'll see you flex your prowess here. This Detroit Tigers first baseman was a 3-time All-Star that led the American League in home runs and RBIs in 1990 and 1991. He added a 3rd RBI title in 1992. In total, he had 6 seasons with 30 or more home runs and 5 with over 100 RBIs.
Quack.
Mitch.
This would be Cecil Fielder and his son would be Prince Fielder.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
That is correct, and I gave it away. I mean, that's just flat out impressive.
Oh my gosh,
that's flat out impressive.
I had no guess there. I had nothing.
Dude, Cecil Fielder was insane. I did not realize that until I looked it up today.
Bombs. He hit bombs.
That dude was nuts.
He hit bombs, man. Part of the reason why Prince Fielder went to Detroit was because Cecil Fielder had such a long career in Detroit. So.
Yep. Yep. All right, boys, just to give you a little recap of where we're at, Mitch is at 6 points, Dallin is at 5. You guys have done quite well so far, and we are going into our last category for the evening, and this is what I'm calling the lightning round. For literally no reason, it's going to work exactly the same as all these other categories. There's just way more questions, so we're calling it a lightning round to make it seem better. Your last category is sports movies. I'm going to read you the IMDb description of a sports movie, and you need to tell me what the movie is. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, Dallin, Mitch, 6-5 ball game. Here we go. Your first movie description. A Texas baseball coach makes the major league after agreeing to try out if his high school team made the playoffs.
Quack.
Mitchell.
The Rookie. Final answer.
That is correct. Mitch is pulling away 7-5. Dallin, you got to get out of this hole, buddy.
This is a good category for Mitch, I'll tell you that.
It is. I will say.
I got some work to do. I should have took the lead in the NBA one. I should have known better.
I will say these are not all gimmies for Mitch. I'm sure a couple of these. I don't know if Mitch is.
Oh, I know. I got this. Comeback's coming.
You're in good shape here. All right, boys. Second movie. An NFL quarterback living the bachelor lifestyle discovers that he has an 8-year-old daughter from a previous relationship.
The name of that. Oh, what's the name of that? Oh no.
I got nothing.
Hold on. I knew it.
5-4
Oh three, no. Quack.
Mitch.
The game plan?
Final answer?
Final answer.
Mitch, you are clutch city today because that is correct, my friend.
No way.
That is a game plan starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Dallin.
Is that okay? Because
I
was
The Rock. I could see it with The Rock. I was like, oh no, it's that.
I envisioned the movie in my head, had no idea what it was about, what it's called. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Great pull.
Holy smokes.
Mitch, okay. Incredible pull. Incredible pull, buddy.
All right.
Dallin, you got to dig yourself out of the hole pretty quick here. A self-centered Minnesota lawyer is sentenced to community service coaching a ragtag youth hockey team.
Quack.
Mitch.
The Mighty Ducks. Final answer.
Dallin, you are in trouble, brother, because that is correct. Mitch is ahead 9-5.
Ooh.
Let me see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points left available. Dallin, you are down by 4 currently. Next movie. Based on the story of Mickey Ward, a fledgling boxer who tries to escape the shadow of his more famous but troubled older boxing brother to get his own shot at greatness.
Bing!
Dallin.
It's a great movie. Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale. Fantastic performance by Christian Bale. The Fighter.
Is that a final answer?
Yes, final answer.
That's right.
That is correct, Dallin. Yeah. Great pull. Getting yourself good job, back Dallin. In it. And it is a good movie. One. That is a good call.
It's one of my favorites, honestly.
Fantastic movie.
Christian Bale's a little hard to look at for the whole time, but yeah, it is a phenomenal film.
He's quite the character.
He lost a ton of weight for that one, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He did.
And that one came between The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. So he was bulked up for The Dark Knight, went full crackhead for The Fighter, and then put it all back for the final bat. Incredible stuff. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. So we're getting a little closer here, Dallin. Well done. Next movie, boys. Family man Phil Weston, a lifelong victim of his father's competitive nature, takes on the coaching duties of a kid's soccer team and soon finds that he's also taking on his father's dysfunctional way of relating.
Quack. Bing.
That was Mitch first.
Kicking and screaming, final answer.
Mitch, I am so glad that you got this, because if you didn't get this movie, I was going to light you on fire for not knowing a film that stars Mike Ditka.
He's got Mike Ditka in the background on the Zoom.
All right, Mitch is up 10-6. There is still...
You know who you're talking to. I'm talking to the juice box guy.
Check to the juice box guy. No smoking means no smoking. Oh, goodness. All right, Dallin, you got 6 points left on the board. You are down by four, I believe. Yep, you're down by four. So you still got time. Here we go. In 1925, an enterprising pro football player convinces America's too-good-to-be-true college football hero to play for his team and keep the league from going under.
Quack.
Mitch.
Leatherhead's final answer.
That is correct. Mitch, you are on fire right now, brother.
He's too good.
Also, that movie stinks.
That movie is fantastic. What are you talking about? Stinks. That movie freaking kicks ass. I love the Leatherheads.
That movie is not good. All right, Dallin, by my math, let me see here. We actually have four questions left. So you technically speaking are out of the running. However, you can make it a respectable game.
I'm trying.
Pull within a few of Mitch. Here we go. An aimless young man who is scalping tickets, gambling, and drinking agrees to coach a little league team from the Cabrini Green Housing Project in Chicago as a condition of getting a loan from a friend.
Quack.
Mitch.
Is this Hardball? Final answer?
That is Hardball. Yes, it is. Mitch cannot miss right now. He can do
this is Mitch's category right here.
I did not realize what I was creating.
This is how it rolls, and you're pulling it out, man. I'm going to be honest. I haven't even heard of the last two movies. That shows you where I'm at.
Look,
you got to go watch Hardball, man.
You got to watch Leatherheads, actually.
You don't need to watch Leatherheads. You can skip that one.
There are three things I know in life. Okay, that's sports movies. Or there's three things I watch. That's sports movies, documentaries, and stand-up comedy. So, like, this is my wheelhouse right here. But
yeah, well, that's unfortunate for Dallin's side of the table, but I am enjoying it as a host. So here we go. A coach with a checkered past and a local drunk train a small-town high school basketball team to become a top contender for the championship.
Bing!
That's a Dallin.
I don't think this is right, but I got to get a guess in every once in a while. I'm going Coach Carter. Give me Samuel Jackson, baby.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
That is not Coach Carter, unfortunately. Sorry, Dallin.
Quack?
Mitch.
Is this Rebound? Right, final answer?
It is not Rebound. No, uh-oh. Boys, this is the description of Hoosiers.
Oh no. I should have known. I should have known it was Hoosiers.
To be fair, Rebound is an equally quality film, but unfortunately, no, this is the classic Hoosiers.
Rebound is quality, but Leatherheads is not? What are you smoking, Fox?
No, I need to be very upfront that is a correct statement that you just said. Oh. All right. Nobody gets points for that one. The rare miss on tonight's program. Next,
Iser wins for me at this point, so I'll take it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just going to actually put that one in for Dallin. Dallin, you get a bonus point, so it's 12-7.
What?
Next movie. Yeah, if you miss them, Mitch, I'm just giving it to Dallin now.
I love this. Okay. It's great.
All right.
Excuse me. A star bowler whose career was prematurely cut off hopes to ride a new prodigy to success and riches.
Quack.
Mitch.
I think it's got to be the only bowling movie on the face of the planet, the Big Lebowski. Final answer.
So here's the funny thing about that. The Big Lebowski is not only not the only bowling movie on the planet, but it's actually not the most famous one. So no, that is not it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to save us time here. I have no idea. So
I'm going to help you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here are the notable actors from this movie. Woody Harrelson, Randy Quaid, and Bill Murray.
I'm still lost.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, boys, that was Kingpin.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah. All right, okay. I've heard of it. I've never seen it. Never seen it, but I've heard of it, yeah.
Yep. That is, if I'm thinking about it, it's like that is the bowling movie, so.
Okay.
No points there, which means it's a point for Dallin. Last movie, here we go.
Point for Dallin.
A teenager must battle for a gold chart. Sorry, hold on. A teenager must battle for a gold charm to keep his family from being controlled by an evil leprechaun.
Wait, what? Is that it?
This is real. Yeah, that's not a joke. A teenager must battle for a gold charm to keep his family from being controlled by an evil leprechaun.
Oh, quack.
Mitch.
I hate that I know this. This is the luck of the Irish, final answer.
Mitch, that is the luck of the Irish. The Disney original, the great sports film. That is indeed the luck of the Irish. And boys, with that incredible film, we bring our trivia show to a close tonight. Mitch, congratulations. You have taken it down 13 to Dallin's 8. Down, respectable showing, even with the gimme points at the end. Well done, boys. I'm impressed with you both. You did much better than I was anticipating.
Well, thank you, sir.
Mitch, how
Mitch, you seem winded. Like, Mitch seems like he's out of breath right now because
I'm not out of breath. I was just
he's ready to go with like another 10 movie names. He's like,
I'm ready to go with more trivia. You know, I love trivia. You know, we tried it. You know, we tried that little deal. I forget what we called it. That trivia show.
The ADP is right. The fantasy the football is right, trivia
the
show.
Fantasy football trivia show. We ought to start making this a thing with when we have multiple guests on, Dallin.
Yes, this
doing a little trivia thing.
Listen, tough to get the loss here. I feel like this was rigged in Mitch's direction with the movie list, but that's fine. You know, listen, I'm not gonna disparage the maker of the list. Great victory by Mitch and Jordan. Thanks for putting the work in, putting that together. That was super fun. I loved that.
Yeah, no problem, boys. It was fun to make it, and I'm proud of y'all. I'm proud of y'all. You did great.
That was a great job, Jay. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Mitch, how are you feeling with this victory? You've got me calling myself Professor Peepee Fingers. It's episode 100. You get the win here at the end of the pod. Big moment. Energy's flowing. How are you feeling right now?
Man, feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good. You know, it was a good dub by the team. We're looking forward to the next dub, man. Looking forward to the next dub. Had a couple rough spots there in the beginning with the NBA questions, but we really hit our stride there once about the NFL stuff came along. So, we're feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good.
Well done, my friend. Congrats on this victory, and I think that's gonna pretty much do it for the podcast today. So episode 100, it has been so much fun to record this podcast. It's just been fun to have this podcast around over these last couple years, and grateful to sort of celebrate with you all today with this episode that we've done, just keeping it light, keeping it fun. We're 3 weeks away from the NFL season, so we'll be gearing into season predictions, projections, award watch. That's what we'll be getting into the next couple weeks here as we round into the NFL season. So look forward to that. We wanted to get this in before that time of year gets too busy. But as always, we appreciate you guys listening. And if you don't already, follow our social medias. The Twitter is @SportsHourGuys. Instagram is @TheSportsHourGuys. The TikTok @TheSportsHourGuys. So follow us on there. And Mitch, tell the people about Anchor.
Yeah, Anchor, man. You can go ahead and listen to us there, but that is also one of the few places that if you have been an aspiring podcaster, you can get on there and create your own podcast. And they give you an ad to work with, so you can generate revenue by creating your own podcast using Anchor. You can give us a listen on Anchor. You can become a supporter of us on Anchor, like my saint of a mother, Sammy, and my father, David, did. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. You can go ahead and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating review. Tell us we suck, because, dude, that's the only way that we can get better.
It is. It is the only way that we can get better. Jordan. What's your Twitter handle? Where could the people find you with your hot Kings takes?
So it's not exciting or it's quite a boring Twitter handle, actually, but it's just @FoxMJordan. You can find me there. I get really mad about the Sacramento Kings basically every night. So you can watch me rant, and that's where you can find me.
I love it. Before we wrap up, I never gave Jordan an opportunity to gloat about his 2-time summer league champ Sacramento Kings. So buddy, you guys drafted off night, aka Davion Mitchell, in the first round. He balls out, co-MVP of Summer League, 5-0, whatever it was for the Kings. How you feeling? Is the momentum moving forward now?
Hey, listen, man, it's just nice to win something in Sacramento. We cherish every small victory we can get. But seriously, it looks like Monty McNair's hit 2 home runs in a row as far as the draft goes between Tyrese Haliburton and Davion Mitchell. Davion's a dog. That guy's so fun to watch defensively, which is rare in today's NBA. It's refreshing to watch a guy lock somebody down on defense and get to appreciate that side of the ball. Kings had a couple of other randoms pop up and play super well. Emmanuel Terry balled out and he's not getting his roses at all, so I'm going to give them to him right now. But yeah, I won't take any more of our time. All life is good right now in Kings fandom, and it'll suck tomorrow, but for right now, I'm going to enjoy myself.
I love it. We were discussing before the pod, you know, let's just put 4 guards out there, you know, and throw Rashawn Holmes in the middle and just see how it goes. You know, could be exciting stuff for the Kings next season. But Jordan, again, we appreciate you taking time and jumping on with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on as a part of this podcast and as a part of the Sports Hour, because you are one of the Sports Hour guys. So again, Jordan, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, boys, thanks for having me. I've loved listening throughout these 100 episodes. I love being on when I can. I love you guys both. Thanks for having me on. It's a blast.
Appreciate it, Jordan. Appreciate all of you for sticking around. And we will catch you next week.
See ya!